You may be seated. Friends, grace to you and peace from God, who is our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ, our Messiah. Amen. As I mentioned earlier, we gather today for a service of prayer and healing. And there will be spots where you'll be invited to come forward for the laying on of hands and the anointing of oil by other leaders within the church. There'll be a spot up front with me, there'll be a spot over to the side with Odova Crowder, and a spot in the back with Trevor Brazelton. Now, we have begun offering these 2 to 3 times a year for 2 reasons. One, because as we just read in our scripture today, our Lord Jesus performed many acts of healing. In fact, that was what he was most known for from the very beginning: forgiving sins, casting out demons, curing physical diseases, and all those things. That's what our Lord did. And secondly, as heirs of Jesus, as heirs of the work and ministry of Christ, he has commanded and called us to continue this ministry of healing, a ministry that includes the laying on of hands and the anointing of oil. Now, to be sure, there's nothing in the sense that we think of like the supernatural, magical things that we expect to happen. But what we do expect to happen is for our Lord to show up, for our Lord to mystically show up in our midst. Now, make no mistake, our healing service today does not in any way presume to replace the gifts that God has given our world that come through medicine and science and the works of our incredible healers at our hospitals and in our rehabilitation centers. I firmly believe and have prayed many times that I believe God's miracles happen through the gifts God has given our medical community throughout the world. And indeed, that happens. This does not presume to say that this replaces that in any way, but rather it is a gathering to celebrate. Indeed, to celebrate and trust God's promises. God promises strength to us in the midst of our weakness. God promises comfort to us in the midst of our suffering. God promises wholeness to us in the midst of our brokenness. And God promises peace to us in the midst of our pain and shame. And I believe firmly that this is embodied. Christ's promises are embodied in you and me, in us together, in the work of the church. Now, please know that none of you is expected to come forward who does not feel comfortable doing so. And if you do choose to come forward, we're not going to ask why. No one will ask you why you've come forward. You may be asked, is there anything we can pray for you? But this is all personal for you. Our healing service simply seeks to follow the call of Christ and to trust the Lord to be who our Lord has promised to be. I believe it's helpful to acknowledge a couple of things as we consider a healing service. First, I would acknowledge that we are all part of a broken humanity. And each of us individually probably have somewhere that we need some healing, whether it be physical, or perhaps it's emotional, or maybe it's even spiritual. St. Paul writes in Scripture to us that when he talks about the humanity, for we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The second thing I would acknowledge this morning is that God, who is the root of all healing, he has offered and promised his presence in all things. As St. Paul also says, for neither death nor life, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor powers, nor rulers, nor anything else in all of creation can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing else. So our Lord is here in the midst of our brokenness. God is not afraid of our brokenness. God is not ashamed of being seen with us in the midst of our worst times. No, our God promises to be there and never to abandon us. And one of the most powerful ways that I have experienced this promise of God, the presence of God in my own struggles and uncertainties, is through you. It's through the community of faith. Now, Rod read our lesson from James, and it offers a bit of a template for us on how healing can come through the community. James writes, "Are any among you sick? Well, they should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord." And he goes on to say, "Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed." And this text reminds us of the powerful witness and commitment that we share together with one another as the people of God in this place. We are the brothers and sisters who gather and remind each other of the promises of God's healing. Whenever we gather for a shared prayer or shared confession or a shared admission that we need one another to make ourselves and our lives whole again, well, that is the kingdom come near. That is Jesus' presence with us. I've seen all kinds of healing come through the community of faith. A few stories. When I was a young intern, I like to think that I'm still young. As a matter of fact, when I married Heidi, or asked her to marry me, we started talking about that. I told her if she married me, she would be forever young. Worked so far, right? Well, when I was a young intern in Springfield, Ohio, I went and sat with a gentleman by the name of Wayne Hall. It was during his last days. We were very aware that cancer was eating him up. And truthfully, I didn't know not only what to say to him, but I was trying not to say something stupid. And as we talked, he asked me if he could give me some of his religious art and religious books. And of course, I said yes. As a matter of fact, I left some of those art pieces back in Cincinnati when we moved here. He then told me about how he had received cards and letters from the people of the church there at St. John's, and how those letters and cards had come at just the right time, divine kairos moments, if you will, when he was feeling depression or he was feeling pain. And these letters written by people, some who didn't even know him fully, within the community of faith, helped him smile and remember his blessings and remember that God is with him. Now, in the midst of this conversation, he then said, "Pastor, will you pray for me and lay hands on?" And I had never done that before. And honestly, I was a bit uncomfortable because my image of laying hands on people was Jimmy Swaggart and the faith healers that I would see on TV. But what do you do when you're a young intern and a man who's dying asks you to lay hands and pray over him? You don't argue theology. And so I did. And as I laid hands on this dying man, as I prayed with him, it was holy. And both of us felt the Spirit. Now, to be sure, it's not like Wayne suddenly got up and his cancer was cured. But what happened there in that living room that afternoon was undoubtedly Spirit-fueled and Spirit-led. And I've had this experience at other times too. When we had this service back in Cincinnati, when I was serving there, we had a young man come forward, a young man who was a fireman, a strong, tough guy. And he came up to receive the laying on of hands. And as I laid hands on him, he started to tear up and he started to cry. And it was a bit unnerving for me because this is a big, tough guy. Well, afterwards, as I reflected on this with him, it came out that unbeknownst to anyone else but his wife, he was struggling with an addiction. And this coming forward and receiving the laying on of hands, the promise that God is with him in the midst of his changing of his life, this promise that God will not abandon him nor forsake him amidst the poor decisions and choices he had made in his amidst his addiction, was a first step in him cleaning up his life and changing his marriage. I know that I've personally felt the power of healing and confession when I've had hands laid on me, as I've done at different times in my life through different spiritual directors, when I'm going through tough times and having hands laid on me, I too have felt such a sense of peace come from that moment. And no story in my life about healing and the work of community speaks as much to me as the story of one of our own, your brother Chuck White. Now, some of you don't know Chuck, but his wife Karen's a member here and active. And when both Pastor Heidi and I found out that Chuck had cancer, we went and visited he and Karen up at their home. And we discussed the process and the medical plan to tackle his cancer. And we prayed together. And as is my practice, I always pray for complete healing. I always do that because I trust God's promise and presence. So I prayed for Chuck to be healed. And I'll never forget what he said. He looked at me and he said, "Thank you, Pastor Dave. I appreciate that very much. I may be cured of cancer. I don't know. I hope so. I pray so. I may be cured of cancer. But make no mistake," he said to me, "I have already been healed." Hear that again. "I may be cured of this cancer, but I have already been healed." Way back when, my friend Wayne's healing did not keep cancer from taking his life, and Chuck, our dear brother, took leave from us way too early. But healing, my friend, comes as Christ conquers our fears. As Christ gives us the strength to journey amidst our sufferings. That is healing. And this is experienced often through the prayers of the faithful. As you pray with one another among your journeys. As you bestow mercy and grace upon another with whom perhaps you need to be reconciled. We experience this through the power of Christian friendship, where we love and pray for one another in the midst of our journeys of life. And most powerfully, we experience this healing from our God during baptism, who promises to heal us always. Did you know that the root word, the word salvation, comes from a Latin word? The Latin word is salus, S-A-L-U-S. And you know what salus means? It literally means to be made whole, to be integrated, to be reintegrated. And in his book, fabulous book, if you haven't read it, it's an older book, but it's wonderful. I would encourage you to read it. The book is called Why, W-H-Y, Why Christian? And it's the tagline is "For Those on the Edge of Faith." Why Christian? For those on the edge of faith. It's written by a gentleman by the name of, a wonderful theologian by the name of Douglas John Hall. And he asserts this. He asserts that too often in this book, he asserts that we too often turn the word salvation into something otherworldly, something about the hereafter, perhaps. And he says when we do so, this is what happens. He says when we do that, we betray the most fundamental meaning of the word salus, salvation, which is a very earthly thing. Salvation is best understood as the healing of persons, the reintegrating of our divided selves, the reuniting of people with those from whom they are estranged, equipping us for the kind of life our Creator intended for us to have. As Jesus said in John chapter 10:10, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Douglas John Hall, in effect, is saying that abundant life is a gift now. Salvation and healing happens now. Probably many times in your life. And this is what we in the church come to offer to each other and to our communities. You see, abundant life does not mean life without pain or struggle. And abundant life does not mean life without injustice and uncertainty. Abundant life does not mean cancer will go into remission or dementia will be reversed. Abundant life does not mean that you will find a perfect job or a perfect church or a perfect house or a perfect college. But what abundant life is in Christ is a life lived in the thin place. The thin place where the activity of the divine and our lives are made whole. We all experience thin places. Those places that feel like abundant life. Life at its fullest. Life at its best. Maybe it's listening to your favorite kind of music or watching a sunrise or sunset or simply enjoying time with your friends. For me, abundant life in a thin place has been hanging out on my boat on Lake Holiday this summer. Perhaps for you, it's sitting with your toes in the sand by the sea or a walk in the woods or a hike up a mountain. Thin places can also be when you open up that scripture and hear those words of renewal and life again. It's when you receive the gift of bread and wine and Holy Communion or you're singing your favorite hymn or making music that revives your soul. I pray that Bethel provides thin places and thin place experiences for you. And I pray that perhaps today will be one of those. But the most vital thin place of all is baptism. It's where abundant life is assured. It's where Jesus saves you and makes you whole and integrates you into His love and grace forever. And so because the promise of baptism is so real for us, it means that we can indeed live into the words of Chuck White, who says, while my brokenness and my sin and my shame may not be changed to my satisfaction, make no mistake, I am already in Jesus' name, amen.